Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Today Dynasty. I am your host, Heath Cummings, here with a special guest, Garrett Price, Dynasty Nerds. Garrett, thank you for being here today.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
You know, I like to give everybody a little bit of chance just to tell the world what they're doing at their specific site. So what do you have going on at Dynasty Nerds right now?
Yeah, all kinds of stuff. We're getting hot heavy into prospect season. And, you know, with the combine coming up, we go in, we break down every single position. So we've got all that going. We've got the Nerd Score coming up as well, which is basically film grades for each player that we have. And yeah, it's a busy time of year in Dynasty, that's for sure.
It's the best time of year, I think, because Dynasty is like it's fun to win championships and play actual fantasy football games. But in terms of Dynasty, this is the time where Dynasty gets the spotlight. There's no real redraft. Sure, there's some best ball stuff going on. There's no real redraft considerations to stand in the way of our Dynasty perspective. On today's show, I am going to rank and tier the top 12 picks in a super flex rookie draft from my perspective. And then Garrett's going to tell me where I'm wrong. We'll talk about Marvin Harrison versus Malik Nabers. We will talk about Jaden Daniels versus Drake May. We will talk about who is the RB1. And is there really any reason to think we know who the RB1 is right now? Don't we have to wait until May to find out? Probably so. But we start, as always, Garrett, with three questions for our guests. And this is the one that pretty much everybody gets. You're starting a new dynasty league. What is the one setting or rule for you that is non-negotiable? Like this, you're going to fight this one to the death. We're going to have this setting or this rule. You guys can decide everything else.
Yeah. The one for me that is at this point, it's become non-negotiable is I can't do one quarterback anymore. I just can't. I get it. The NFL only has one quarterback. Why are we playing with two? But the value of the quarterback in the NFL is just so high. And then you get into one quarterback leagues and nobody really cares about the quarterback position. So right. For me at this point, if it's not super flex, I'm probably out.
So I will be changing that question. I think I've been waiting to see if I could get some other answers. I'm going to be changing that question moving forward to, other than super flex, what's the one rule or setting? Because you are definitely in the majority with that answer. That's the answer we get from almost everybody. And I mostly agree. I've got some one quarterback leagues. I'm not leaving them, but most of the new leagues I add, I plan on making those super flex leagues. Now, as of right now, I'm going to talk about my tier breaks here in just a minute. But as of right now, how many tier breaks do you see in round one of a rookie draft?
Yeah, I think you could make an argument for four tier breaks. It's somewhere between three and four. Right. I think you could go either way on it. Right now, I kind of have it as four, personally, four tier breaks. But I could see arguments for only having it three. But I do like to look at it in the sense of, is there any chance that I would take player A over player B? If 10 out of 10 times I'm taking player A, they're not in the same tier. Right. So that's kind of how I look at it.
Well, and I think that's a good point because, and I don't know, we haven't discussed this yet, but I've got Caleb Williams at 101 and I do have him in the same tier as some other guys. I have a hard time making a case though, that I'm going to take somebody else over Caleb Williams in a super flex draft.
Yeah. Yeah. You could make a strong argument that Caleb is in a tier by himself. I know Jaden Daniels has gotten a lot of love lately. Right. So for some people that's changing possibly, but I do think you can make a strong argument for him being in a solo tier.
I do think if somebody trades up to 102 in a real, like with a play caller we like and takes Jaden Daniels at 102, then I would expect it's definitely going to become a debate between Caleb Williams and kind of like the Anthony Richardson last year. Before the draft, nobody would have said Anthony Richardson should be the first player drafted. But then once he earned that draft capital of a top three pick, and we knew he was with a coordinator who had made Jalen Hurts one of the best quarterbacks in fantasy, then it became more interesting. And really, I think it turns out it was actually CJ Stroud, but Richardson might be right there with him. Yeah. Question number three, who is your favorite rookie sleeper right now and why?
Yeah. So favorite rookie sleeper, I'm going to go with Dejon Edwards, running back out of Georgia. So this is when I looked at his tape and I've been watching him actually recently. I've been watching his tape. I love the way that he plays the game. Not the biggest, most physically imposing guy. He's 5'9", 203 pounds. So he's not this like hulking player that I would typically gravitate towards at the running back position. But when you watch him, he never goes down at first contact. Never. He either makes a guy miss in the open field or in the backfield. He runs a guy over. So much more physically imposing than you would expect for a guy sub 205 pounds. Like, it's really, really impressive to watch him run the football. He can do some things in the receiving game as well. So he's viable in that sense. And he's not a player because of his size. I don't think we see him until day three, but he's one of those guys where he fits it. If he finds the right scheme, he could really make some difference in the NFL. So it's definitely a long shot, you know, fourth round of your rookie drafts and guys like that. But I love taking those running backs late, because in my dynasty leagues, if I get myself a wide receiver 6, 7, 8, I never know when to play those guys. Good luck figuring out the two games a year that they can score a touchdown. But when running backs, when they get, you know, whether it's due to injury or being promoted, you know when to play those guys. And then you have an opportunity to trade him as well. So love getting running backs late in drafts. And Dejon Edwards is a guy that I'm going to look at.
Yeah, I think we'll see. I mean, there's been a lot of talk, and I see a lot of top 12s that don't have a running back this time of year in their top 12 rookies. And I understand why that is. You don't know where these guys are going. And so if you're actually drafting players, you don't want to draft a running back who might turn out to be a round three pick to be a backup running back to somebody else. It might be a Zach Charbonnet situation. You just took him in round one. I guess people did that last year, even after Charbonnet went to Seattle. But I do think that eventually we're going to get one or two running backs that move into round one after we get landing spots. But then we probably have a little dry spell in round two. And so I think round three, we're going to see a lot of running backs this year. And I you're right. Now, the counterpoint to that obviously would be Tank Dell and Puka Nacua, which is probably going to drive some people to make poor decisions this year because, oh, I can just find the next Tank Dell or Puka Nacua. No, those guys probably aren't. They're not probably going to exist this year, right?
Right. Right. Yes. Yeah, no, but they were fantastic players. And you do find wide receivers here and there at the end of your draft. So it's definitely in the realm of possibility. Diggs was one of those guys back in the day, and it's possible, but it's much more difficult to find those guys than it is the James Robinsons, the Aaron Jones, the Philip Lindsays, the guys like that.
Yeah, and those guys can also turn into profit. And like you mentioned Robinson, if you can take advantage of that rookie year and then sell before they fall off a cliff, it's almost like making double the profit. So I definitely agree with you, and I'll be keeping an eye out for those Dejon. Let's take a short break here, and then we're going to get into my top 12.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Let's go!
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount Plus. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
Okay, Garrett, so we're back, and the way that I set this up is kind of my individual tiers with some question marks. So in tier one, I had Caleb Williams, Marvin Harrison, Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers, Drake May, and Drake May is the question mark. I really can't decide if May deserves to, and it'll probably come down to landing spot. Like if he's just the clear number two pick, and then May probably is in that group as well. But I get a lot more excited about drafting the first four guys in that tier: Williams, Daniels, Harrison, and Nabers. Would these five/four all be in your first tier?
They would all be in my first tier, and I would even add a player to that tier, actually. Or I guess they would all be in my second tier, because like I mentioned earlier, Caleb Williams right now is in his own tier for me.
Right.
So I have him kind of separated out. And it would be, you know, going back to the one QB league that I'm never going to play in, it would be kind of the same thing if it was a one QB league. Marvin Harrison Jr. for me might end up in his own tier. But in super flex leagues, yes, it would be all of those quarterbacks and those receivers kind of all bunched together in one tier right behind Caleb Williams.
And you said there was one extra player you'd add in. Who would that be?
It'd be Romo Dunze.
Okay.
Really like Romo Dunze. Very talented receiver. Does a lot of things right. I don't think he's going to be the most physically, you know, the guy that wows you as far as his 40 numbers and things like that. But it does everything so well and so fluidly.
Yeah, and I had a note. You see this. I'll let the listener in. Mm-hmm. Like I had kind of four, and then Drake May maybe tier 1.5, and Romo Dunze maybe tier 1.5. And so when you talk about Caleb being in a tier of his own, like the way I like to use these tiers is if I've got a pick towards the top of the tier and I can make a profit and move back two or three spots, I'm okay doing that. You'd like to do that from 102, but not from 101, it sounds like. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah, I would be totally fine doing that because it's going to be interesting. I'm digging deeper into Jaden Daniels and Drake May this week, actually, for right. our next upcoming episode. So I'll have a more refined opinion on the two. But I am a guy that has been a fan of Drake May for a while. I think he's a very talented player. And we do get to this time of year, and it's hard to differentiate the news from the noise on some of these guys, because we get to this time of year every year where all of a sudden somebody out of nowhere kind of skyrockets up boards. And that's kind of what happened to Jaden Daniels up until the last like month of the season. Nobody was really talking about him. And then all of a sudden he just crushes the end of the year, wins the Heisman. Now he's being talked about. I mean, there's some guys putting him 101 over Caleb Williams. So he's really risen up boards, but Drake May, we see the test of time. He's kind of been there this whole time, has all of those prototypical things that you like to see. So, you know, he's one of those guys, he gets off the bus and you're like, oh yeah, that's the starting quarterback right there. That's the guy. And a better athlete than I think he gets credit for. So so I do like Drake May quite a bit. I don't know if I'm going to have it him or Daniels as the two yet, but I think both are very close.
I'm still pretty early in the process as well, but from where I'm at, it seems like Drake May is more likely to be an NFL quarterback for the next 10 years than Jaden Daniels. He's more likely to be successful as a passer in the NFL than Jaden Daniels. But Jaden Daniels could be a top 12 fantasy quarterback without ever being successful as a passer. And if he is successful as a passer, he could be QB 1, 2, 3 in a given season because of that athleticism. Is that a fair way to break it down?
I think that was an excellent way to put it. You're absolutely right. Drake May is going to be the more CJ Stroud mold. Now, will he have the rookie season? Probably not. You know, we don't normally say that, but he's more of last year's CJ Stroud, the kind of guy that's not being talked about as much just because doesn't have some of those tantalizing upside skills that some of the other players like Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams both have with their running ability and improv ability. But Drake May's no slouch in the running game. He's able to get it done, but he's not a guy that's ever going to rush for more than 450 in a season. So it'll be a little bonus, but it's not a Daniels where he could be like Justin Fields in that sense, where he didn't throw for a lot, but man, he ran for 1,100 yards this season, so he was still very valuable as a fantasy quarterback.
It seems kind of like sometimes Jaden Daniels thinks that he's built like Josh Allen. Like, could you just avoid a little bit of contact occasionally?
Yeah, it is funny, too, because I was like, oh, we'll coach it out of him. Very rarely do I see that get coached out of players.
No, they keep talking about it with Josh Allen. Like, they talk about it on the sideline with him, and then he runs out and trucks somebody and giggles all the way back to the huddle. I don't think you can take that out of guys, even quarterbacks. The problem is Jaden Daniels is not built like Josh Allen. So you said you would put Rome Odunze in this tier one. I assume that means, because you also kind of intimated that maybe Harrison could almost be in a tier of his own. You have neighbors closer to Odunze than you do to Harrison?
I do. I'm a big Marvin Harrison Jr. guy. I think it's a little bit of prospect fatigue, I think, with Marvin Harrison Jr. We've known how good he has been for a while. Like, we're well aware of his talent, his ability, his lineage, everything, just every box you can just check in favor of Marvin Harrison. And we want something to talk about. We want there to be some discussion, some debate. And this is no knock on Neighbors at all. Neighbors is an incredibly talented receiver. He will probably go top 10 in the NFL draft, and deservedly so. But if we want to talk about the next Calvin Johnson, Julio Jones type of prospect, that's Marvin Harrison Jr. He's that guy.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty set on the 1-2-3 nature of those three. I'm not as certain which one I think Neighbors is closer to yet. And that does really matter when it comes down to tiering. Now, for me, tier two or 1.5 was Rome Odunze. And then I love Troy Franklin's game. And Brock Bowers is going to end up in that pick 5-7, 6-8 range, certainly. I'm generally the kind of guy who's very skeptical about drafting a tight end in the first round of rookie drafts. And I think NFL teams looking at past history should maybe be skeptical about drafting a tight end in the first round of the NFL draft. But where are you at on Bowers? And do you think he's close to that Odunze group? Or is it a pretty clear cutoff there for you?
I think for me, this would come down to league format. If we're talking about a tight end premium league where you get extra points, you know, if a tight end catches a pass, then I think you can make a strong argument that he would belong in that Odunze area, Drake May, you know, those guys. I think you can make a strong argument there. If it's non-tight end premium, then yeah, he's definitely down a little bit on my board. And you're right. We've seen, you know, Kyle Pitts is the most recent example of a guy that everyone just went crazy for, just tantalizing upside. And even a guy that is good for fantasy now, but wasn't his first few years in a guy like TJ Hockenson. You just brought it up there. You know, TJ Hockenson, very talented tight end, and now is an elite option, but wasn't used that way in the first 3 or so years in Detroit. Now, the hilarious part is they draft a guy to replace him and then use him like that, which is still comical to me how that happened. But either way, I would have a hard time putting him in that tier if it's not a tight end premium.
If it's not a tight end premium. So, yeah, and I think, like, my general philosophy with these guys, tight ends that get drafted in round one, is they will be cheaper 15 to 18 months from now. That's obviously not going to be the case with Sam LaPorta, but he wasn't drafted quite that high either. He was a round two tight end. I'm okay drafting the really good tight ends in round two. Bowers has been phenomenal. It is amazing how much different he looks when he stands next to NFL players or former NFL players versus how he looked on a college field, isn't it? Like, he's just this absolute monster of a man. And then it's like, oh no, he's just the size of all the other NFL players.
Yeah. I saw the one picture of him next to Gronk, and it was kind of common because Gronk is obviously a massive dude, but he totally made him look like a guy that works for like Geek Squad or something. It was pretty comical.
So who would be in your tier three after? So you've got Caleb Williams tier one, then you've got Harrison Daniels, Neighbors, May, Odunze, and tier two. Who would be in your tier three?
Well, I'm actually tempted to put it back into tier two. I'm tempted to put JJ McCarthy in there.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily because I'm the biggest JJ McCarthy guy, but in your super flex leagues,
right?
If a guy is going to get legitimate first round draft capital. And I think he will. I think we're going to end up seeing McCarthy probably in the top 15 or so picks. And if that's the case, it's really hard to not take them at least in the mid to late first round. So while he would be at the end of that tier, I would put him up there with Odunze and those guys, if that's the case. But as far as the rest of tier three goes, I saw in here, and I love how you put it, running back one, but you didn't put who that is, which is absolutely on par for this class right now, because it's a huge debate as to who the top running back is at this point.
And yeah, and I hear for the most part that's talked about in a way that is, there's just not any good running backs in this class. And there's certainly not a super, I mean, there's nobody that anybody's going to reach into round one for in the NFL, I don't think. It's probably going to, you're probably going to see round twos the earliest. Some people have talked about round three. I doubt we go that long. But I still think what's going to happen is we're going to have one or two guys who get drafted in round two on great or good offenses. And those guys are easily going to be first round super flex rookie picks. They're probably going to be top 10 picks. Do you have a favorite that you hope lands in a certain spot? Like, are there a couple of guys that you'll feel more confident about if the NFL validates the way you think about them?
As of right now, I have two guys that I think are both kind of jockeying for my top spot. And yeah, and obviously you're right, the NFL landscape and how this works out as far as draft capital and landing spot and all that will play a role in it. But the two guys right now for me are Jonathan Brooks out of Texas. I would say if there was a consensus, which there's not, but he would be the closest to probably the consensus top guy at this point out of Texas. Talented running back. He's got solid size, can do a little bit of everything. So he's the name I'm probably hearing the most, and I think it's justified. There's a lot to like in his game. The other guy I don't think is being talked about quite as much as the top running back, maybe more like running back 3, 4, 5. But Marshawn Lloyd out of USC, really like what I've seen in his game. Highly touted recruit when he ended up going to South Carolina. Some injuries and just some weird stuff there just didn't work out, but transferred over to USC, and he looked really good in that offense this year. Has some good physicality to his game. Weighed in, had a nice weigh in at the Senior Bowl there. See some pass catching ability. Made some big plays in the passing game actually for USC. So, and really the thing that I love about his game is the ability to make guys miss in the open field. He's got really good feet, really good kind of next level vision when we're in the second level of the defense. He does a really good job of manipulating defenders. So I like what I've seen out of Marshawn Lloyd's game. So those would probably be the top two guys for me at this point.
I think Brooks is definitely the most interesting because I don't think there'd be any doubt that he would be the consensus favorite running back if he wasn't coming off of a torn ACL. But yeah, some people are viewing that rookie year almost like a redshirt type year. And the interesting thing is that generally speaking, that the guys who are going to be first considering these running backs are guys drafting 9, 10, 11, 12. If those are guys who earned these draft spots, then they're looking for somebody who's going to help them this year. Like they're true contenders. Now, probably the best thing to do is trade that pick and try to get a starting running back. Sure. Based on this class, but I do think that's why, especially this year, landing spots going to matter so much. It's partially because there's not like this, the superstar, the guaranteed superstar. It's partially because there are four or five guys maybe that aren't that far apart. And then it's also because we're not talking about drafting RB1 with the second or third or fourth or even fifth pick. We're talking about the contenders considering these guys. Like the thing I have said over and over and over again is, it's a guy like Blake Corum. Like if Harbaugh just slams his hand on the table and they take him in round two and he's the Chargers lead running back in Greg Roman's system, well, all of a sudden he's a top 10 rookie pick. And that's gonna drive some people crazy, but it's just kind of the nature of the position. I also think that Braylon Allen, Trey Benson, those guys, if they're the first running back taken and they go to a good situation, they could be the RB1. I do think that Brooks is probably the only one that I'm really excited about if I'm one of those teams at 201, 202, 203 that are still kind of in rebuild mode, and I'm mostly adding wide receivers, but Brooks is still there because of the ACL, then maybe I feel okay about that. He's probably not going to score any points and hurt me this year. And then he might be the best running back in this class after year two. I do want to go back, though, to my tier three for a second, because I'd mentioned Troy Franklin, who is right now my seventh or eighth player in a super flex draft. A smaller speed guy. We've seen here in the last two or three years that the size really doesn't seem to matter as much in terms of NFL success. And I think you see people debating Franklin against Brian Thomas or Franklin against A.D. Mitchell. Like those types of big, big wide receivers. Are you still leaning towards the big guys? Or do you think that it doesn't matter as much as it used to?
Yeah, I don't think it really does matter as much as it used to. I think if all things are equal, you know, guys similar speed, similar leaping ability, similar, you know, catchability, all of those things, route running, and one of those guys has 2 inches on the other one, well, then, yeah, they're probably going to favor the guy that you know, has that tiebreaker. But I think that's really what it's become. Size has become more of a tiebreaker more than it has a necessity for a legitimate wide receiver one. And I think one of those guys that doesn't get credit for it as much, but really kind of helped break that mold was Antonio Brown. Yeah. I don't think people realize he was not a very big guy. I think people think he was bigger than he actually was, but he had, what was it, 5-6 straight wide receiver one seasons for fantasy football. Like not a wide receiver one, like wide receiver one overall, just an absolutely absurd run. The guy was like 5'10", 180 pounds, like not a big dude at all. So it is interesting because guys like, you know, we mentioned earlier, Tank Dell, where in years past, if it had been a decade ago, he's an undrafted free agent. You know, the teams might not even touch him. And now he's getting drafted, still day three, but clearly getting opportunities to elevate and move up his game. So yeah, I don't think it matters nearly as much as it used to. But I do think for me, it is kind of a tiebreaker of guys that I like similarly.
Now, I saw that Troy Franklin said this morning that he did meet with the Bills. How out of control is his rookie ADP going to be if he's drafted in round one by the Bills?
Oh man, that would be nuts. We saw, you know, if he could become a consistent Gabe Davis. Now, obviously their games are very different, but both, you know, big time speed and making big time plays. Wow. That would be incredible.
Okay. We get to my tier three. I think it would be in your tier four range here. If I'm not mistaken, but JJ McCarthy is there. I could absolutely see him sneaking up to the top eight, depending on how high he gets drafted. And if we like the team that he gets drafted by, I'm not sure I'm going to be super excited if he's drafted by the Broncos. I just don't know that whole situation is going to work out for anybody. But yeah, McCarthy could go to a good spot with early enough draft capital. He could sneak into the top eight picks. But I've got McCarthy, RB1, Xavier Worthy, and Brian Thomas Jr. Who's your favorite of those two wide receivers between Thomas and Worthy?
I like Thomas a little bit more than I like Worthy. I think Worthy is a nice player, obviously big time speed. One of the few guys in this class that we saw really break out as a true freshman. It doesn't happen as often, and especially in this class. So he does have that long history of being successful at a big time conference, but I do have some questions in his game. I don't think he's as complete of a prospect as a guy like Brian Thomas. And I think that's what kind of elevates him for me a little bit. So Worthy probably wouldn't be in that tier. Brian Thomas definitely would. I would have Troy Franklin in that tier. And a guy that I feel like Jekyll and Hyde when I watch this guy, and I'm really struggling with what to do here, is Keon Coleman. Keon Coleman, in one hand, tantalizing upside. He's got the size, he's got the speed, he's got the leaping ability, the catching. Like, there's a lot of things to like in his game. On the flip side, two guys that I were not off my board, but I had drastically lower the past couple years, what was Treylon Burks and then Quentin Johnston. Those were two guys that I had well below consensus. And he seems to fit very nicely into the mold of a Treylon Burks and a Quentin Johnston. So I have been like, I feel like Jekyll and Hyde every time I watch him. There's part of me that loves some of the things I see and I think will translate to the next level. But there are other things that are cause for concern and some, I don't want to say red flags, but yellow flags in his game that have me wondering.
Well, I don't know how deep you get into the analytics side of it. I know you do a lot of film work. Yeah. I will say that on Twitter, if you want to talk about the two guys who get the most shade from the analytics groupings, like here's a group of wide receivers who did this in college and they all stink. And then it's Keon Coleman or it's Adonai Mitchell. It's one of those two guys.
Right. Right.
That is paired in with all of the first round rookie busts.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the struggle. That's the struggle. And you can see it on tape. There's shades of him that are beautiful and wonderful. And there are shades of him that you're like, ew, I don't like that. So it's he's going to be one that I think I'm going to have to go through with a fine tooth comb a little bit more than I might even other prospects, just to really figure out where am I at on this guy.
We do have a good question from the chat before we take a second break here for liquidity. Do you think that Brooks will get a pass for the injury? Meaning if he has a down year one, will he hold value as opposed to someone like Blake Corum, who will probably crater if he has a dud rookie year?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question.
Are dynasty managers actually that patient?
That's another great question.
Right.
Because we do have a hard time with patience often. I can attest to that as well. But I do think he's the type of player that would get a little bit more of a pass than other players. So if for some reason, you know, year one didn't quite work out, even if it's only, you know, a few games, I think he would get a little bit more of a pass, especially when you consider a guy recently that dealt with injuries in his first season and then exploded in year two, like Kyren Williams. You know, that might be fresh in people's minds. So it might be a little more apt to give some time, similar to a round one quarterback that maybe doesn't have a great year one, but because of the draft capital, you give him a little more time. Same type of thing with a running back with an injury. I think people are apt to give him a little bit more time because ACLs aren't what they used to be. It's not as big of a deal. It's not as big of a concern long-term for players like it used to be. So I do think he would get a little bit more of a pass.
Well, I think a good way to kind of judge that for yourself is if these two guys have the same year, who are you more likely to say, I'll buy low on that guy? And for me, it's definitely Brooks. Like, I think Blake Corum in the right situation could come out and have a great rookie year. But if he's bad, I'm not going to have hardly any interest at all in him the following year. Right. Brooks, I will be interested in. And to your point about the injury, like a guy I thought you were going to talk about was Jamison Williams. He didn't explode in year two. In fact, he didn't do much in year two. People are still excited about potentially acquiring Jamison Williams for next year. Now, it's easier with a wide receiver, but people will make excuses for prospects that they really, really liked. Yeah, there's not a lot of people that seem like they really like Blake Corum, so maybe that was just a bad example to use, but they'll like him a lot if he goes to the Chargers. Let's take one more short break, and then we got a few questions left here for Garrett.
It was a very bright, shining light, Sarajevo, and they needed to kill that light.
From producers Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, explore how art and music sustained hope during the siege of Sarajevo, thanks in part to humanitarians and the band U2.
U2, they represent a personification of our resistance.
The Hollywood Reporter hails Kiss the Future, moving and inspirational.
Kiss the Future! Viva Sarajevo!
Kiss the Future, new documentary now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. Go to Paramount Plus to try it free. Terms apply.
New CBS Sunday.
You collect rewards, right?
This is how I make my living.
When something is lost,
everyone's looking for something.
He finds it.
You strong swimmer?
So-so's
okay.
Justin Hartley stars.
How you survive, you make quick, smart decisions, and you never let panic take the wheel.
Sounds cool.
It is cool, actually. Very cool.
Tracker. New Sunday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Okay, Garrett, so we went through my top 12, Caleb Williams, Marvin Harrison, Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers, Drake May, Rome Odunze, Troy Franklin, Brock Bowers, RB1, whoever that is, J.J. McCarthy, Xavier Worthy, and Brian Thomas Jr. I've seen a lot of rookie mocks, rookie rankings, as we talked about, that have zero running backs in the top 12, and I understand why. Is it more likely that we get two plus running backs in round one of drafts in May, or zero?
I lean toward zero. I think that would be the more likely scenario. And who knows? We could have two teams draft a running back in round two that desperately need running back, and it looks like they're going to give them a lot of volume, and we could get there. But it does seem like a class where we mentioned it with the injury with Brooks. So even if he goes in round two, our team's going to be a little more hesitant to take him. And then you see a lot of round three guys, which are always intriguing because round three is a little bit better draft capital than it would seem it would have been 10 years ago.
Right.
Where round three was, I don't really want round three guys. Now it's like, oh, that's pretty good draft capital for running back. So I think it's always a possibility. But I think dynasty managers over the years have gotten smarter, and we've seen this happen over and over again where guys get pushed up into the first round just because everyone needs running backs. And then those guys that get pushed up just because of opportunity, but the talent was never there, they just don't seem to work out. You know, even you know, Keyshawn Vaughn is a good example from a few years back. Who's the guy from the Saints this year?
Kendre Miller.
Kendre Miller. I saw him go in first rounds of some drafts just because, you know, what could be with the Saints? And we see this happen almost every year where a running back or two gets pushed up simply because I need a running back and this guy could work. And then we miss out on some really talented receivers or tight ends or guys like that. So I think managers are getting a little bit smarter. So I think one is the most likely, but if I had to err on the side, I would say zero.
I think you're giving dynasty managers too much credit. Maybe on Twitter, definitely it will be Twitter fodder for all of us eggheads to talk about how there shouldn't be two running backs. But I still think when it comes down to it, you're going to have contending teams with holes at running back, and they're not going to get to pick again until pick 22. And so maybe they'll be fortunate, maybe smart enough to trade back. But I think we end up with two, but we'll
you
see.
Think so?
It probably should be one. I'm just going to guess that it ends up being two. Now, second question, because in my top 12, I had four quarterbacks. There's buzz about everybody this time of year if you look hard enough, but there's a little bit of buzz about Spencer Rattler and some teams liking him. There's some buzz about Bo Nix and some teams liking him. And then there's always the possibility that the J.J. McCarthy hype just fizzles and he falls a lot further than we think. So more likely we get five quarterbacks in round one of a super flex rookie draft or three.
I'm going to go on the other side. I'm going to go with five this time. I think there's more likely that we'll get five quarterbacks in here. And simply because we talked about it with the running backs, there's going to be guys there that are not that exciting.
Right.
And we've seen some guys in recent years in rounds two and three that have ended up being good fantasy football quarterbacks. Jalen Hurts is the one that most obviously comes to mind, but Dak Prescott and Kirk Cousins. And, you know, I think Michael Penix could be in the middle of round two of the NFL draft and sneak in to pick 112, or Bo Nix in that range, or, you know, you mentioned Rattler. I think that there's a guy that could end up going mid round two to a team where we're like, ooh, that's interesting. And he sneaks in, because at this point, I would be very shocked if McCarthy is not a first round pick in super flex drafts. So that's what's leading me to say I really don't think it'll be three. I think four is the most likely, but I'm going to err on the side of five this time.
It's very interesting when people are sitting there at 112 trying to choose between Bo Nix and Jonathan Brooks. And they should probably just take another wide receiver.
But probably should.
That will be a debate that somebody's going to have to make. Who is the best player that we have not talked about yet?
Man, there's a lot of really good players in this class overall. And specifically, I think of the wide receiver position. There's a lot of really good guys there. Mm-hmm. I know Ladd McConkey's gotten a lot of love after the Senior Bowl stuff that he did, Jeremiah Burton. But a guy that I'm interested in, and I think he could end up being a really good player, is Malachi Corley. Out of Western Kentucky. Watching his tape, I mean, he's built like a running back. He's thick. And you see some of that. And I hate doing this because he's not going to be this player. But you do get some of those Golden Tate, Deebo Samuel type of vibes of the yards after the catch, doing, being able to do things in the screen game over the middle. He's one that I'm definitely keeping an eye on because he's a smaller school guy, but he's starting to get some round two buzz of the NFL draft now. So definitely a guy I'm keeping in mind. And I think it was it Daniel Jeremiah that recently had him in his top 50?
Yeah.
It was Daniel Jeremiah. So definitely a guy that I'm keeping an eye on.
I think it's so hard. And I'm a guy who watched a lot of Conference USA football this past year. There was some really, really poor secondary play. And so it's like, he was a stud and stood out. Yeah. And I think he can play in the league, but it's just so hard to put in perspective what he did with the level of competition that he was playing. Yes. It's still a D1 school, but that was a bad defensive conference at times. And so I think it will be really, really dependent on where he gets drafted in the NFL draft. If he sneaks into round two, then everybody's going to be on board. And he's still kind of a sleeper. And you look at a lot of rankings, he's not in some people's top 30. He's not in some people's top 36. And so there may be some huge value available there. Now, I would assume at some point we're going to start comparing him to Puka Nacua or to Tank Dell, even though there's really no reason to do that. And then he's going to get a little bit more steam and maybe sneak in the end of round two or something like that. But no, I love that answer. I loved the player. I have a really hard time evaluating what he did against the level of competition that he played against.
Yeah, it's tough with those smaller school guys because sometimes they absolutely belong. And then other times you watch them and you're like, they clearly just dominate against bad players because they don't look like the rest of these guys at the NFL level. So yeah, those smaller school guys, it can be tricky to evaluate them. I do like it when you get to see them at the Senior Bowl a little bit,
yeah,
because that does help level the playing field some. So I do like it when I get to see those guys kind of at that next level at the Senior Bowl.
This is a good question here from Matt before we wrap up here, talking about how good Neighbors is, how good Marvin Harrison is. You've got that second or third pick, depending on where you end up with the quarterbacks. What would you need to trade down from thinking you're going to draft Marvin Harrison to thinking you're going to draft Malik Neighbors?
So for me, I like to kind of put these guys in my overall wide receiver rankings to kind of evaluate where I would want or what type of asset I would want to move down. So for me right now, Marvin Harrison Jr. is dynasty wise right around that wide receiver 5-6 range. Right around like a Garrett Wilson type of guy. That's the kind of range that I have him in, where Malik Neighbors is down a little bit further for me, probably more in that wide receiver 14 range, 15 range, somewhere, you know, Michael Pittman Jr. type of guys, in that range. So, you know, if I'm looking to go from Michael Pittman Jr. to Garrett Wilson, that's kind of how I like to kind of evaluate what I would want for a player like that. So for me, it would be probably like 2 seconds.
2 seconds. Okay.
Something in that ballpark.
Okay. No, I think that's a good answer. I think 1 second gets that done easily. Asking for the second might make it a little bit more difficult, and it probably should be a little bit more difficult. So Garrett, thank you very much for coming on today to talk with us. Once again, before I let you go, kind of tell everybody where they can find your work and what you've got coming up.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff at Dynasty Nerds, dynastynerds.com. You can find me on Twitter at Dynasty Price. And this time of year especially, really ramp up as far as content and stuff going out. So excited to talk all of these prospects with you. We've got some new shows coming up. So a lot of things up our sleeves over at Dynasty Nerds. So it should be a fun time.
Go check out Garrett on Twitter. Go check out Dynasty Nerds. Thank you all for following along in the chat. Thank you to everybody who's listening on the podcast. We will talk to you next Tuesday.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.